talk to John DePietro now. 438-9776. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM. WPRO.
This portion of the John DePietro Show is brought to you by the Original Italian Bakery. Don DiPietrillo and his staff wish everyone a happy and healthy new year and look forward to serving you when they reopen after vacation on Thursday, January the 15th. You can visit them on Atwood Avenue in Johnston, next to St. Rocco's School and Church.
Well, hello, everyone, and we are back. I'm Patricia Raskin, and I am filling in for John DePietro, who will be back on Monday. And I'm very happy to be here. We are talking about email and texting in light of the Sony Pictures email hack, where, you know, it's getting a little closer to home now because this could happen in any company and can happen at home as well. So my guest in the studio in this hour is Brian Lemereau. He's a partner with Pannone, Lopes, Devereaux, and West. He's also an adjunct assistant professor of management business law at Providence College. And he is a nationally recognized voice on cutting-edge legal issues relating to social media, of course, including email and text. All right, and then in a little bit, probably in a few minutes, we're going to get a call from Eric Shore. And Eric Shore is a CEO of Secure Future Tech Solutions. He's president and founder, and they're a local company based in Warwick. And we're going to talk about thinking like a hacker. How do you protect your business and your computer? We're talking to Brian Lemereau about protecting your email. How do you protect your computer? So Eric will address that. Welcome back, Brian.
Thank you.
Okay, we're taking your calls, folks, so we'd really love to hear from you at 438-WPRO, 438-9776. What are your feelings about, do we say too much in texting? Do we say too much in emails? Should we be protecting ourselves more? What's your feeling about this? Is it too much of our communication? Or what is your question for Brian, particularly if you're concerned about an email you wrote or one that someone wrote to you? Welcome back, Brian. Okay, so a couple of things I want to ask you. What does your company do with an email before or after you have hit the delete button?
Well, and a typical lawyerly answer, it depends on the company. But the general rule is after you've deleted an email, it's likely going to be stored on the company's server for some period of time, okay? And that period of time is going to vary from employer to employer. And remember, even though you may have deleted it from your side, the other side has not deleted it necessarily either. But what's been happening is companies have been keeping things more and more because it's cheaper now to store data. So companies don't have backup tapes anymore. They don't have reels of magnetic tape that they have to store and keep cool. You can get a 1 terabyte hard drive. I just bought one the other day for $60. So you can store a massive amount of data. So companies really aren't incentivized to delete emails as much as they might have been years ago. So they're being kept.
So be careful.
Well, and the second thing that's happening, well, not only be careful, but be mindful of those things you're putting in email. The second reason they're not deleting emails is because most companies have to keep them for compliance purposes or litigation purposes. I advise my clients to keep emails as long as they might need them, and that varies depending on whether the person is a contractor, whether they're a hospital, et cetera. So emails don't go away once they're deleted.
What about GPS tracking on company phones?
What about it in what way? I'll tell you from a privacy perspective, you answered your own question with the question. The fact that you said it was a company phone means that if the company gives you a phone and you are aware there's GPS tracking on it and they're monitoring it, there's no issue whatsoever. Companies tracking you without your knowledge or somehow finding a way to track your personal phone is a completely different question. Mm-hmm. Companies have every rational business basis to track where their employees are going. FedEx and UPS have been doing it for years in their trucks. So phones are not going to be any different if they're issued by the company and the worker knows that they're being tracked.
Okay. All right. We're taking your calls, folks. 438-WPRO, 438-9776. Your questions for Brian and then soon your questions for Eric about email, computer hacking, as well as email safety. So that's very, very important. All right. The next question I have, and this is really, what about an innocent message that you think is innocent and it could become incriminating legal evidence? Do you have an example of that?
Well, I have to be careful with examples because I can't disclose client confidences. But I have seen several instances where people have sent an email that they thought was innocent. And I'll try to be as anonymous as possible. But an email relating to a meeting and people who were at the meeting. Okay. Probably information that was not necessary to send in that email. But fast forward several years later, that email got produced in litigation because in litigation, we produce all sorts of data.
Wow.
And that email started a thread that people were able to pull to determine who might have been poaching someone else's clients. And it was completely innocent. And I'm not saying the person did something wrong, but it's just it was amazing to me that an email that was several years old created a trajectory of dispute that was completely off topic.
Wow. All right. We are joined now by Eric Shore, who's president and founder of Secure Future Tech Solutions, formerly called PC Troubleshooters. They are a local company based in Rhode Island, in Warwick. Eric is often heard here on WPRO giving advice to the listening business audience about how to think like a hacker and keep your computer system safe. Hi, Eric.
Good morning and Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too. You too. Say hi to Brian Lemereau.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Eric.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've been talking about email safety and in terms of texting and legal issues around that, around our emails. And now I'd like to move a little bit into the whole computer safety. How do we keep our computers safe from hackers? What do you say, Eric? Particularly in the new year, it's 2015.
I know. Well, you know, 2014 was the year of the hacker. I mean, there was on a weekly basis hacks at Home Depot and Sony and you name it. So, you know, I think, you know, 2015 should be the year of thinking like a hacker so we can all protect ourselves.
Okay.
That's really the key, Patricia, is thinking like a hacker.
So what would the steps be?
Technology is only part of the solution. You know, antivirus and all those other programs are very reactive, which means that a lot of stuff gets through. You know, so what we decided to do this year was we started to put together a seminar called Think Like a Hacker so that we could train our clients on protecting themselves.
Okay, so what are some of the tips that you'd like to give our listeners on thinking like a hacker?
Well, first and foremost, hackers are looking for low-hanging fruit, which means that they're looking for easy places to get into. There's a common misconception among many small business owners and also home users as well that I don't really have anything of importance. A hacker's not interested in me, and that's not the case at all.
Okay.
A hacker is interested in getting into systems that they can have easy access to, that they can use to attack other places, like Sony or like, you know, Home Depot or wherever.
All right. So just tell us how we're going to prevent that. Then we've got George from Warwick with a question on the phone. Go ahead, Eric.
Great. Well, first and foremost, you need to make sure that all of your systems are up to date. You need to make sure that if you're using an old XP machine, XP went out of support at the beginning of the year, upgrade your computer so that you're running Windows 7 or Windows 8 or perhaps a newer Mac.
Okay.
Make sure that you have the latest and greatest firewalls and antivirus systems. Now, these are all very important things to make sure that you're keeping up to date on.
All right. And after this question, I'm going to ask you about the cloud. All right. George has a question. George from Warwick. Your question for Brian or for Eric? George.
Hi. Good morning, Patricia. Good morning, Brian.
Hi.
Good morning.
I have three businesses in Rhode Island, and I have a video recording to protect my businesses. And I was wondering, is audio recording allowed as well in the premise or no?
Well, first of all, I assume that your video recording is, you know, in compliance with the law and that you have appropriate signage and that you're recording where people don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy. I'm not sure of the Rhode Island law on audio. I know that your question is a good one because often the line is distinct between audio and video. I did look at the audio issue in another state in a circumstance where a client was concerned about people walking into meetings with their iPhones on record. And whether or not it was they could make a policy to prohibit that. So I looked at the audio recording laws in another state, and what you'll find, and you have to look at Rhode Island, which I think is a one consent state, which means that you it may have changed recently, but some states are considered one party states or two party states on whether you need to have the consent of both people recording. So the answer I looked at in another state was that they only needed one person party's consent, so they could walk into a meeting and record others. It caused a lot of problems in that workplace. But I think the first place you want to look is whether or not Rhode Island is a place that requires two people to consent to the recording of an audio, and that should lead you to your answer about surveillance.
Is that right, answer?
If it's the retail place, like, would it be like in the general area where you have interference between employee and customer?
Right. You're drawing a great distinction between, for example, a break room, which might provide a different answer than, let's say, a retail counter at a 7-Eleven, for example. The touchstone that you'll find in Rhode Island case law, putting aside what the statutes say, is whether or not the people who are being recorded had a reasonable expectation of privacy. As I mentioned, the Rhode Island Supreme Court is pretty protective of privacy rights. I'm not sure someone would be able to convince the court, however, that someone who's standing at a cash register doing a transaction with a teller or a cashier has any expectation of privacy. In the bathroom? Sure. In the changing room? Sure. In the break room? Sure. But I think you want to look at, first of all, the consent law, and then also have an attorney look at that circumstance of the commercial transaction. Is there a reasonable expectation of privacy? My gut instinct tells me that that would be a hard argument to make, that when you're standing in public, you have an expectation of privacy, unlike someone's house, for example.
All right, George, okay. Hope that answers it. Thanks so much. Thank you. All right. Now, back to Eric, and we're talking about thinking like a hacker and protection for your computer. You have a question, Brian.
Eric, I have a question for you, and I'm glad to have someone like you on the phone because I've never found the right person to ask. But I will tell you, when I get a lot of spam emails that people got through a virus or otherwise, they typically come from one or two domains, and I'm thinking specifically of AOL.com. Do you have any recommendations as to whether people should be using a different email platform or what they should be using? Because I don't really get those emails from Gmail, but they tend to come from others.
You know, hackers are very smart. You know, phishing emails is what you're talking about. You know, they send out emails that look legit, that try to, try to reel people in to click on their links. Quite a few of them do come from AOL, but they can come from other domains as well. So is there one that's better than the other? Not necessarily, but the key here is to be suspicious about emails that you get, particularly if it's coming from, you know, an AOL domain or even if it's coming from someone you know. If it's not a regular email that typically you get from that person, you definitely want to question it.
That brings up a question for me that I've been getting, and it's a little scary, and I've been told not to open these. I get these emails that say someone's looked at your credit or your credit score may be in jeopardy. And, I mean, they're like routine. Eric, comment on those.
These are many times these are all, attacks. And so typically I delete all of them. So if you have a question about your credit score, delete the email and then go right to one of the credit bureaus to look it up instead. You know, go to the website as well. We see these emails come in from PayPal, from all of the major banks. And
oh,
a lot
I had
of
that.
Them
I had that on PayPal, and I questioned it, and it was a hacker, and I wrote to them.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely.
They wanted my credit card number.
Of course. The bank or PayPal or any of these institutions, they already know your information. They don't need you to reconfirm it. So that's one of the things to look for.
Okay. What other tips would you like to give us? We have a few minutes left in terms of really thinking like a hacker and protecting your computer.
Well, you know, hacking is big business. You know, there are some hackers out there that are just doing it for fun. There are others that are doing it for fame. You know, there's a whole hacker community out there that loves to brag about all of their latest hacks. But primarily, they are out there for fortune. They are looking. It's big business now. They are looking for to get into your computer to either steal your information or to use your computer for somewhere else. So the biggest thing is to be suspicious. That's my biggest tip, because technology can only go take us so far. It's really important to make sure that you have, you know, the latest software updates on your computer, the latest antivirus protection, the latest firewall protection. But the biggest thing is to question any kind of email or something that doesn't quite look right. Don't click on it. Delete it.
What about the cloud? Big question. What about the cloud, Eric?
The cloud is a double-edged sword. However, the cloud is here to stay. The cloud is the internet. When we're talking about the internet, we're really talking about the cloud. And more people are using the cloud every day on a daily basis. And I put out there that the cloud is probably more secure than a lot of small businesses and home businesses networks. Mm-hmm. So,
should we back up on both? Should we back up with an external drive and the cloud, or one or the other?
Oh, you know, you can never have too many backups. Okay. So that's a great question, Patricia. So typically with my clients, what we do is we do an on-site backup. So there's some kind of on-site backup in place, whether it be a USB drive or, you know, a backup server or whatever. There's a bunch of different ways to back up your data. And then also an off-site backup as well to the cloud. And that protects you in all situations. So it protects you from fires, thefts, floods, local disasters. And then also you have a local copy so that if you need something back in a hurry, you can get it very quick as well. So that's why you should have an on-site and an off-site.
Thanks so much, Eric, for coming on. How can people find you? You are the president and founder of Secure Future Tech Solutions, and you work with small businesses in our community. You're in Warwick. What's the number?
My number is 401-921-2607, and it's securefuturetech.com.
Securefuturetech.com, 921-2607. And people can write to you, Eric, at securefuturetech.com.
You got it.
All right. Thanks so much for being on the program, Eric.
Thanks, Patricia. Okay. Thanks, Brian.
Okay. Bye, Eric.
Bye. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have a couple of more minutes with Brian. So still an opportunity to call in with your question at 438-WPRO, 438-9776. And I think the question I'm going to ask Brian is, what's your personal feeling about what we're disclosing on email? Are we too free? Is it too much? Or is it just right? Or not enough? You're listening to The John DePietro Show, and I'm Patricia Raskin, and I'm filling in. Right here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO, we're the voice of Rhode Island. You can hear me again tomorrow. I'm on every single week, Saturdays, Patricia Raskin Positive Living, 3 to 6 p.m., WPRO. We'd love to have you. We're going into our eighth year tomorrow. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.
John DePietro. What's trending and why? John DePietro, News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM, WPRO.
Hi, everyone. We are back. You are listening to The John DePietro Show, and I'm Patricia Raskin filling in. And we have with us Brian Lemereau, who is an attorney with Devereaux. Say that correctly for me, Brian, so I can get it exactly right.
Pinot, Lopes, Devereaux, and West. I'm not the French-Canadian in the name. I'm the other French-Canadian.
Okay. And Brian specializes in social media law. All right, Brian, we've only got 3 minutes left, so quickly, what's your feeling about all this? Is it too much email, too little email? Are we saying too much? Are we not talking in person enough?
I think I look at the question differently. I don't really look at it in terms of volume. I look at it in terms of what role technology is taking to erode our ability to communicate overall. I've presented on cyberbullying to middle schoolers and their parents, and I teach a class on social media at PC, and obviously I have a client base that's struggling with all of these. And one of the themes that I see across all those groups, both as an educator, as a parent, as a lawyer, is people favoring electronic communication over personal communication or even a voicemail. I found myself the other day apologizing to someone I was leaving a voicemail for because I felt like I was disturbing them. And I chuckled at myself because we're so used to just emailing and shooting off an email. I actually had to talk to the person. And I joked with a client when she called me back. I said, yeah, I found this thing on my desk. It had buttons and a cord on it. And I pushed these buttons and I could talk to you. And we joked because we are so much defaulting to email, and we're losing, I think, a lot of ability to communicate in a meaningful way. And I think people aren't being mindful about how they're communicating, and I think that they are using technology as a crutch rather than avoiding either difficult conversations or productive conversations. Because when you're talking to someone face to face, conversations change and they go in different directions, and you get sparks of ideas, and you don't do that in email because it's single threaded and you end up getting stuck with what the topic of the email is.
I agree with you 100%. I really do. All right. Thanks so much, Brian. Just give people your number and emails quickly.
Sure. Of course, they can email me. I'm at bjl@pldw.com, or if they want to follow me on Twitter, it's Brian Attorney on Twitter. And my number is 824-5155.
Thank you so much, Brian. It's been very insightful. All right, next up in the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to do Rhode Island success stories. Amy Diaz and Jason Case, they actually, after having 6 second-place finishes, Amy, alongside fiancé Jason Case, crossed the finish line in first place and won the $1 million grand prize, the Amazing Race 23 title. And then we'll also have later on Giovanni Ferrucci, CEO of Benriss. And he's another big success story. We're going to ask them, you know, what's their keys to success? What are their tips for 2015? You're listening to The John DePietro Show. I'm Patricia Raskin filling in. Catch me on Saturdays, 3 to 6 p.m. tomorrow right here on Pro for Patricia Raskin Positive Living. The news is up next right here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO. We're the voice of Rhode Island, and we'll be right back.